All right. So I want to say this is a strange message for me. Not a strange message. The way it came to me was a little weird. I was writing my message last week. Excuse me. I was writing my message last week, and all of a sudden, I dropped in an extra message. And I had to turn from what I was doing and start making notes about this message. So he gave me this message last week, which was not normal. But here it is. And most of you all have heard the saying that it goes like this. It's not the dates of birth or the date of death that matters. It's the dash that's in between them. We've heard this kind of saying before. And it means, of course, that it's how we live our lives, that time between our date of birth and our date of death. And for believers, and actually it's for everyone, whether they know it or not, it's knowing what's important or accepting what's important that counts. And the most important truth overall for all of the world that the world has to accept is the existence and love of Adonai towards us. Now, there are some questions that most everybody will ask within the time of their lives because these are the most important questions that we can ask. Who does God love, and why are only some chosen for his love? If God only chooses some, how do I know if I'm one of the chosen that he loves? And I'm not saying that these questions suppose the truth of Adonai, but the truth themselves, therefore, you know, what I'm trying to say is just because we ask these questions doesn't mean that these questions are based in truth. Adonai's love has two sides to it. One is the love of all mankind because he is creator of all. And he loves his creation. The other is the love for a single person, meaning each and every individual he loves. And we hear questions like, then why does he not love someone? Or why does he hate that person? Or me? Even worse, why does he not love me? Or why does he hate me? I believe that this is a misrepresentation of what Adonai's character is, or even what is happening around them. So this is what I'll be talking about today. Adonai's love, and who does his love rain down upon? And let me say before we get into Adonai's love, we have to accept one thing in order to understand fully the love of Adonai. That is that all scripture must be accepted as the word of Adonai, and it is all true now, just as it was true the day the Ruach wrote it through the hand of a man. The day that that hand put it to paper, well, back then it was parchment, but it's all true. So the Tanakh, the Old Covenant, is just as true now as the Brit Hadashah, the new covenant, is now. God's words will never change and will never fail. They don't expire. They don't get replaced. He does not change, and neither does the words he gives men. He expands. He explains. He reveals his previous words by the more recent words given, and I believe that he stopped giving new words to the world, such as the many prophets in the Old Covenant. But he continues to give personal messages by the Ruach to individuals, and some of those are to share with others in the world. But they were not meant to change or modify anything written from Genesis to Revelation. With that in mind, let's go to our first piece of scripture, Deuteronomy 7:6. My clicker don't work. We'll change batteries tomorrow. You'll do the whole service. Thank you. So Deuteronomy 7:6, starting there. For you are a holy people to Adonai your God. From all the peoples on the face of the earth, Adonai your God has chosen you to be his treasured people. It's not because you're more numerous than all the peoples that Adonai set his love on you and chose you. For you are the least of all people. Rather, because of his love for you and his keeping the oath he swore to your fathers, Adonai brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. The taking out Israel from Egypt was not meant to be a single act of love for a single people, but as an example of his love for all men and for of what Adonai will and can do for all. That does not mean that we're not chosen for a task to Adonai, because we are. We are. That was an example, and we are chosen to be examples to the world. What does the fact that he chose Israel for a task to bring light to the world mean to the world? It means that he also gave the world, or the Gentiles, a task. And that is to live by his commandments and to make Israel jealous so that they will return to Adonai, coming out of the world and to come back into his commandments. Deuteronomy 18:10 proves by his word that he loves the Gentiles and the Jews when he says this, starting in Deuteronomy 10:16. Circumcise the foreskin of your heart, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked anymore. For Adonai your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, mighty, and awesome God, who does not show partiality or take a bribe. He enacts justice for the orphan and the widow and loves the outsider, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the outsider, for you are outsiders in the land of Egypt. Adonai shows his love for all, saying that he does not show partiality towards anyone. Most want to read this in the confined aspect of Jewish people, but I choose to read this as he does not hold back his love from anyone, Jew or Gentile. He started this passage by reading as, circumcise your heart, meaning that those uncircumcised in the flesh could still be accepted when they make the heart decision to follow his covenants. His love truly is for all of his creation. He did not decide later on that he will include the Gentiles after all, but it was always his plan to love all the world. This is why the verse in John that's known so well is so true. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The words from the Brit Hadashah, the New Covenant, are a continuation of the Tanakh, the Old Covenant, especially regarding his love for all the world. He did not send Yeshua to give a path of salvation to just those that many think were not included in the Tanakh, meaning the Gentiles, just as he did not give us the Tanakh just to save the Jews only and not the Gentiles. Both books are for both people, and his love is for both and all peoples, all that he created. Now, I've read something regarding John 14:21 that I'll share in a moment, but first let me read the verses before it and John and start in there. So John 14 starting in verse 15 and then running up to 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, so he may be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him who know him or know him. You know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer behold me, but you will behold me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father. You are in me, and I am in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. So I read their reading of this indicated, they said it indicated, that the ones who accept the Messiah has a deeper, more intimate relationship with Adonai. In other words, those who accept and love Jesus, God loved more than he loved Israel. Oy. I would disagree, as said by my oy. I disagree with the implied thought that Christians who accept Jesus have a better love from Adonai than the Jews had when the temple stood and their sacrifices were made. For those who followed the instructions of Adonai in temple times, they had the same loving relationship as those who accepted the Messiah and followed the instructions of Adonai. God's love did not evolve, and he did not hold back his love until the Messiah. For those who followed with a whole heart and did what he instructed with that whole heart, the love for both Jew and Gentiles are the same, and it is amazing. One of the things that makes his love amazing is that he never withdraws it, regardless who we are or how we act. He does not withdraw his love. Listen to the description of Israel and Adonai from Psalm 89. Psalm 89, starting in verse 31. If his sons forsake my Torah and do not walk in my judgments, if they violate my decrees and do not keep my mitzvot, then I will punish their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with flogging. But I will not withdraw my loving kindness from him, nor will I betray my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant, nor alter what my lips have uttered. How can we be sure that he will not forsake any of those he created? His word says that those that Adonai punishes, he will still love and will be there for them when they turn back to him. It doesn't matter if they're turning for the first time or for the umpteenth time. The Lord will not withdraw his love from them. Walk or run away as they may, he will walk and run with them so that he's never far from them when they turn to him. He will always accept us when we turn back to him. And if he did not accept us when we turn back to him, That means that Psalm 138:8 wouldn't be true. Psalm 138:8 says, Adonai will fulfill his purpose for me. Your loving kindness, Adonai, endures forever. Do not abandon the work of your hands. All of Adonai's words are yes and amen. And this is who Adonai is, the one who loves and will not abandon what he created, regardless of the walk they had before they turned to him. If we walk with him in his ways, that he will love us regardless of how dirty we were, because he has the power to clean us up. It's that cleaning that we can trust to be before him. This is the justification that we can depend upon. But we must allow him to clean us. This we have to make the choice. And this is where Shaul, the Apostle Paul, writes that, and this is what Shaul writes that indicates that there will always be room for free will, for our choice. Romans 8:28. Now we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those who he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Now, verse 28 says that all things work together for good, quote, for those who love God. Why did Shaul need to say, for those who love God? He could have just written, all things work for the good for the kingdom of God, or something like that. It's because the plan is for all. But there are those that are not acting as per the plan of God for them. Shaul needed to make clear that there are two groups, those who love God and are walking with him, and those who do not love God and walking their own way. Notice I didn't say Jew or Gentile. All men, regardless how they act, are all predestined for salvation and the love of Adonai. But it can only happen for those who love God, so that he will fulfill the predestination of having a place in heaven before him, as that is the will of God. God chose all, so then all can be saved by turning to him. There really is no question regarding if you are chosen by God. If you are one of those created by him, he gave all the free will to make the choice themselves. He does not force anyone to do what he chooses. That seems amazing to me. He knows what is right and best for us, but loves us so much that he allows us to make the choice. Imagine if an adult son or daughter of yours wanted to buy one of those motorcycles that were made to go screaming down the road at 100 miles an hour. You may not want them to have it, but you love them enough to allow them to make the decision themselves. You may give them advice. You may even give them a helmet. But you allow them to make the decision. That's what Adonai has done for us. In Deuteronomy, he says, there is life and death. Choose life. But he does not pick you up and move you onto the correct path as you would with a two-year-old, right? If a two-year-old is acting up, what do? You pick them up and you move them where they need to be. Adonai doesn't do that. He teaches you until you're ready to make those choices, and then he lets you choose. For believers, free will is choosing to believe we were created by him, therefore loved by him, and will be saved by him when we turn to him. Look what Shaul writes to the Philippians near the start of his letter to them. Philippians 1:6. I am sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Messiah Yeshua. What good work was started in us by Adonai? Now, I recently did a message about justification and sanctification. And this is what Shaul is referring to. The justification was the start of his good work in us when we accepted the good news, the atonement of Yeshua. We may think that it started with our acceptance of Yeshua, but the truth is it started with his offering of righteousness towards us as sinners. Without the offer from Adonai, we would have no other way to righteousness on our own, and therefore no way to either justification or salvation. And never mind sanctification, we would never get there. Our acceptance of the Messiah is the start of our eternity with him. When the walking out of our life that follows him and his words are the sanctification that is in the middle of our lifespan here on earth. And the second coming of Yeshua and the lifting of us up to heaven into his presence will be the final act of our span here on earth. This is what's called the day of Messiah Yeshua. What's the day of the day of Messiah Yeshua? It's commonly accepted by believers that Shaul and others in scriptures were referring to the day that Yeshua comes for the second time, a time of judgment. He came the first time for salvation. The second time is going to be for judgment. It is during our walk in sanctification that we can understand what is said in Philippians 2. Philippians 2:13. For the one working in you is God, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Yeshua sent the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to be with you, to be within us as our counselor, to help and guide us. This is God within us who will never decide that it's time to leave you alone until the return of the Messiah. Once Yeshua returns and calls us before him, we will be like Israelites before Moses. All of us before Adonai, only this time for all eternity, if we're walking with him now. In Romans 8, which we read a few moments ago, said, those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed in his image of his son. Who was it that he created in his image? We read in Genesis 1, starting in verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the flying creatures of the sky, over the livestock, over the whole earth, and over every crawling creature that crawls on the land. God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Who was it that he foreknew and conformed to his image? He knows all that he created and conformed them to his image. Then who was predestined and called? All are predestined to the calling of Adonai. but they have the free will to not follow when they're predestined. It's up to them to do or not to do the will of Adonai. But that doesn't mean that Adonai did not will that none would fall away and die. Meaning eternal life outside his presence. Meaning pain and suffering. Meaning hell. We hear the desire of Adonai through the hand that wrote 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2:4, starting there. He desires all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, a human Messiah, Yeshua. I've said it many times because it's always true. Adonai's desire is for all men to be saved and to know Messiah, Yeshua, who is the truth and the living word. It's because of Adonai's desire to save everyone that Romans 8:35 is true and has the power and has power in our lives. Romans 8:35, starting there. Who shall separate us from the love of Messiah? Shall tribulations or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. Shaul lists off all of these things that cannot separate us from him. And I know there are even more things out there that can try to separate us from him. He didn't list TV. But it's there. But there is only one thing that can separate us from Adonai. And the only thing is us, you, me, ourself. Anyone can walk or run from him. That doesn't negate the love he has for them, but it does negate the predestined eternity that he has for them. The separation is not because of something that Adonai's done. It's not something that Satan's done, who is a created being. It's not because of what a person's done on someone else. It's only what they do themselves. Adonai will not separate himself from us, as we read in Romans 11. Romans 11:1, starting there. I say then, God has not rejected his people, has he? May it never be. For I too am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people, who he knew beforehand. Adonai has not and will not reject Israel, regardless of their sins. And he will not reject anyone today, regardless of their sins. The sins before salvation are covered by the act of justification and by Adonai and Yeshua. And the sins after, when they're unintentional sins and confessed to Adonai, will be covered by the blood of Adonai, by Yeshua. This is why Jude, the half-brother of Yeshua, wrote this, Jude 20. Only one chapter in the book, so you don't need a number before that. Jude 20, but you loved ones, continue building yourself up on the most holy faith. Pray in the Ruach HaKodesh. Keep yourselves in the love of God, eagerly waiting for the mercy of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, that leads to eternal life. He says to keep yourself in the love of God, for your eternal life depends upon it. You really can't say that you couldn't because of what that person did, or because of what this one did, or even because what Adonai did, what Satan did. It's up to you to keep yourself in the love of God. Who was Jude writing to? Was he writing to perfect people living perfect lives who never sin? He wrote this to people who were previously sinners, still sinners, being washed by the blood, as long as they're unintentional sins, and keep turning to Him. Regardless who we were, the thing that concerns Adonai is who we are now. Look at what Ephesians says. Ephesians 2:1. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. At that time you walked in the way of the world in conformity to the ruler of the domain of the air, the ruler of the spirit who is now operating in the sons of disobedience. You too all lived among them in the cravings of your flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and the mind. By nature, we were children of wrath, just like the others. But God was rich in mercy because of His great love, which He loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Messiah. By grace you have been saved. This is who you were. Dead in your sins and walking in the world with and like the spirit of disobedience. Doing whatever your flesh wanted to. Even with that history behind us, the mercy of Adonai and His love made us one with Messiah, and therefore one with Him. Saved by His justification, we are accepted. When we accept the Messiah Yeshua, we are now by the blood of Yeshua as we are walking out the commandments of our sanctification. We can be sure of who Adonai is and His feelings towards us by what John wrote in John 1. John 1, 4. Yeah, I didn't change it yet. John 1, 4, 8. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. The love of God was revealed among us by this, that God sent His one and only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atonement for our sins. God is love. That's all we need to remember. If we doubt if Adonai loves us, all we need to do is keep saying, God is love, and I am a creation of His. He loves His creation. I'm one of His created, for no others could create life. Therefore, I am one of His created, and God is love. I am loved. Doesn't matter what the world's doing to us. I am loved. Doesn't matter what we feel like. God is love. I am loved. Doesn't matter our circumstances. They're temporary. Doesn't matter what's going on. God is still love. Be unemployed, God is still love. I'm running a little short on resources these days. God is love. I need to go to Messiah's Manna because my ends aren't meeting. God is still love. I can really use a car. God is still love. Doesn't matter what we're going through. God is love. Father, we just thank you that you are love. And your word tells us about you, about your love for us, about our final predestined place before you, as long as we keep remembering God is love. God is Adonai Yeshua, and Yeshua died for me, shed his blood for me. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for provisions for eternity before you, for you are love. We just thank you and praise you for your words which confirm your love for us. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.